We continue our learning lately in Ishmas, David ben Menachem, Rishem Nechem Yaakov, and Pinchas Aleya. We're in Ksuvos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. Our Mishnah is going to continue to discuss the zechuyos, the privileges of a father, the rights that he has in his regarding his daughter up until the time she gets married or up until the time she becomes a bogeres. And from then, the Mishnah is going to then transition from the zechuyos of the father to the zechuyos of the baal, of the husband that he has towards his wife, and also the obligation that the baal has towards his wife. Mishnah begins. Ha'av zakai bibito. A father has the right when his daughter is a katana or a nara, bikidusheha, regarding her kiddushin, that he can marry her off. Bikesef, meaning the kesef kiddushin that the husband gives her really goes to him. Bishtar, the fact that the father is the one, if she's getting married, if kiddushin is going to take place via a document, a shtar, so the husband is, the father is the one who gets that document, and she becomes mikudeshes when it comes to his hand. The same way when the money comes to his hand, she's mikudeshes. Ubebia. Obviously, Bia, she has to be involved, but the point is the father has the right to give his daughter over to this man for Kiddushei Bia. Then, Vizakai, what else is the father privileged to have? Bimitziasa. Anything that the daughter finds when she's a Nara or a Katana belongs to him. The Gemara says, Mishum Eva, in order to avoid animosity. After all, the father's paying for everything to sustain her. So therefore, the father should be entitled to any object that she finds. Uva maise yodeha. Not only that, any earnings that she has also go to the father. The Gemara derives this from the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, where it speaks about a father selling his daughter into slavery, where it says v'chiim kor ish es bitola ama. And what do we derive from there? What does that have to do with a father and a daughter? This is a father and a daughter who is not sold into slavery. So the answer is, just like the Gemara says, just like the ama ha'ivria, the maise yadayim go to the master, so too the bas, the daughter, the maisi adayim, go to the father. And even though the pasuk here is speaking about a ketana, as we know, we've mentioned this already, you can only sell your daughter into slavery when she's a ketana, not when she's a nara. And here we want to learn that the maisi adayim, even of a nara, belong to the father. So how do we have a right to learn that from here? So the Gemara says that we darshan it from the word le'ama. The word is extra because v'chiim kor ish es bitoa, father is selling his daughter. Obviously, he's selling her into slavery. But here, the purpose of la'ama is to make a hekesh, a comparison between a bas, a daughter, to an ama. So that's what we do when the pasuk says v'chiim kor ish es bito la'ama. The phrase la'ama, the word la'ama, is coming to tell us bito la'ama. Compare the daughter to an ama and teach me, just like when it comes to an ama, the maidservant, the Jewish maidservant, the maaser adayim, all her earnings go to the master. So too, bito la'ama, the boss is going to be like the maidservant, and all of her earnings are going to go to her master, which of course is the father. As we said, though, we don't need this hekesh for a ketana, because after all, the father can sell her into slavery. Obviously, her maase adayim belong to him. So the hekesh there is to teach us about a nara, where a father we know cannot sell her into slavery. Nonetheless, her maase adayim belong to him. So yeah, again, even though the pasuk v'chiim kor ish es bitolama is referring to a bas being sold into slavery, which is a ketana, nonetheless, the extra word lama is there to teach us about a nara, because I don't need to learn that. I don't need a pasuk to derive that the maase adayim of a ketana go to the father. Obviously, you're speaking about a nara. So far we have the father is have the privilege of the kesef kiddushin and the shtar to give her over to Bia. He gets the mitzias, an object she finds, her maase adayim. And then the Mishnah says, uva hafaras nedareha. A father has the right when the girl is a ketana or a nara, that if she took a neder, he has the right to be mefir, to annul that neder, biyom shamo, as described in the beginning of Parshas Matos, vimheini aviyah osa biyom shamo, kol nedareha ve'esareha, asher asra al nafsha lo yokum. He's able to annul that vow on that day that she makes the vow. The Gemara derives this from the, how do I know that this applies, that the father has the right to do this when she's a nara? So it says, Bin Ureha Beis Aviha. And that teaches us, and that happens to be in the context of the Hafaras Nedarim. And Rashi explains what that means is Bin Ureha Birshus Avihahi. When she's a Nara, we derive that a father has the right during the days of Nara, when she's a Nara, to do Hafaras Nedarim. And some actually use this pasuk to teach you Bin Ureha Beis Aviha, that all Shvach Neurim Gol Aviha, all things that she profits during the time of her being a Nara go to the father. And indeed, that would include all of the things in the Mishnah, not just Hafaras Nedarim. In fact, the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayos, that's what he says, and I quote, Elu ha'inyanim sha'av zakai bahem kozman shebito Nara. These are things the father has to ride the whole time his daughter is a Nara, before she's a Bogeres, lefish and amar, and this is the Rambam quoting, Binarebe Savia. Ubabe Kabbalah, what is the tradition we have from Binarebe Savia, even though that phrase is written only in the context of Hafaras Nedarim? Kol Shevach Ne'urim Le'aviha. But once, Avol says the Rama Misheti Bager, once she's a Boger, she's 12 and a half, Ein La'aviha Rishuspa, Ve'ein Lo Din Aleha Klal. He has no authority, no jurisdiction over her whatsoever. What else does the father have the right to at this point? When she's a Nara or a Ketana, U'mikabel Es Gita. If she becomes a Gerusha from Erisin while she's still a Nara, the father is the one who accepts the get. How do I know that? Well, I have a hekesh between marriage and divorce. The pasuk says, v'yatza'ah, in the context of a get, in the parashas Kisetze, v'yatza'ah mi beiso, she will leave the house, v'halachon, she will go, v'hayisah le'ish acher, and marry someone else. But in the same pasuk, we have v'yatza'ah and v'hayisah. She leaves, which means she's divorced, and v'hayisah, and she gets married. Mekish havaya le'yitzia. We compare, or yitzia le'havaya, divorce and marriage. And we learn, the same way the father, as we said, is zakai, had the privilege and the right to accept har kesef kiddushin until she becomes a bogeres, while she's a ketana and an ara. So if that's true when it comes to v'hayisah, to marriage, this pasuk, this hekesh, comes to tell me that the same thing should be true regarding her get, that he is mekabel the get from the arus. Once she becomes a bogeres, or she's a nesua, now, so then the father has no rishus, and the get goes straight to her. So here you could have a girl, although she may be a nara, nonetheless, if she had nesuin already, the get goes to her. If she hasn't had nesuin yet, she's only being divorced from erisin, so that goes to the father. Then the Mishnah says, but ve'eno ochel peros b'chayeha. But the father does not have the right to the peros, to the profits, to the fruit, literally, of something that she inherits while she is alive. Which means, let's say, she receives a Yerusha that her father has no right to at this point. Let's say something that fell to her be Yerusha from her mother's father, her maternal grandfather. So the father can't eat the peros of that land, of that estate at all. That belongs to her. Of course, if she dies, this daughter, then the father is Yerusha, and then the father does inherit. Now the Mishnah says, what about Nises? What about now that she's married? So the Baal, the husband, has the zechuyos that the father had, which is the mitzia and the maisei yadayim, her earnings, and hafaras nedarim, he has the right now to annul her vows. But Mishnah says, yes, or love a Baal. He has one more advantage, one more right that the Torah gives of the Baal over the father, she'ochel peros b'chayeha, that when she's alive and she has a Yerusha that she received, he is able to eat the profits from that. So if there's a piece of land and it grows crops, let's say, he doesn't own the principal. That's hers be Yerusha from this grandfather, let's say. But nonetheless, he is able to eat the peros, the profits of that. Then v'chayav, then the Mishnah is coming to tell us about, we transition into the obligations the father has, the husband has, to his wife. V'chayev b'mizonos seha, he's chayev to give her mizonos, which is food, and the same thing is true regarding shelter and clothing. B'pirkona, if she is taken captive, he has the obligation to ransom her. That's his financial obligation. Uvikvurasa, if she passes away, he's chayev, he's obligated to bury her and to pay for whatever is needed for the funeral and the burial. The Gemara brings the Braisa that tells us that there is a reciprocal relationship here between the wife and the husband regarding these obligations. In the following way, and the Braisa says as follows, Tiknu mizonos tachas maisei yodeha. So the mizonos that the husband gives the wife is in place of the maisei yodaim, the earnings that the wife gives to him. And pirkono tachas peros. And the fact that he's obligated to ransom her from captivity is in place of the peros, that he's able to eat for her nechasim that fell by Yerusha after marriage. And kivurasa is tachas kesuvasa. And the fact that he's obligated to bury her is in place of the ksuva, meaning the nedunya, the dowry that she brings into the marriage that's written in the ksuva, and he has the right to use. Of course, he has to, if he passes away or they're divorced, she gets that value back. So, and in fact, you can remember it this way. Mem and mem, mizonos for maisiodera, pay for pay, pirkona, which is redeeming her from captivity, ransoming her, tachas peros, and these rhyme, kavura and kesuva. The kavura he has to pay for because he's getting the ksuva which is the nichsei tzon barzel, that are written in the ksuva as part of the dowry that he has the use of. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu ani shebi Yisrael, lo yifchos mishnei chalilim umikonenes. Rabbi Yehuda says that even an ani shebi Yisrael, even a poor person, has to pay for his wife, for his wife's funeral, of two flute players, and a konenes, and a woman who's going to lament, who's going to cry. In those days, it was the custom to hire for the hespedim, people who would eulogize, people who play the flute, a mekonenes, someone who would cry. So Rabbi Yehuda says that even an ani b'Yisrael doesn't have much money at all, this husband would be obligated to pay for, at the very least, two chalilim and one mekonenes for the eulogy of his wife, because this is included in the kvura, in the tzorchei kvura. And since for the ksuba he gets, that the dowry he gets, he has to do the kvura. That doesn't just include burial, it includes, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, at least, two chalilim and a mekonenes. And the Gemara explains this a little bit further. If the family, the custom was to have a hesped with chalilim and a mekonenos, so even that would be true of her family, meaning that was her family's minig. She's the one who died. Her family's minig was to have that. So even if it's not his, the husband's custom to have that, so then even the Tana Kama would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that you have to follow her family's custom. So now we're limiting here, coming to limit the machlokes between the Tana Kama, who mentioned nothing about paying for these things, and Rabbi Yehuda says you have to pay for these things. Why should it be that everyone would agree that if that's her custom, he has to pay for it? Because that's what's known as ola imo ve'eno yoredes imo, which means that even after she passes away, she doesn't go down, she doesn't descend down to his financial status. He's obligated to maintain her financial status, what she's used to growing up, and since they're used to having a mekonenes and chalilim, so he has to pay for that. So what's everyone agree to that? So what's the case of the Mishnah where the Chacham and the Tanakama don't require paying for this, but Rabbi Yehuda does? So Mishnah is talking about a case where it's the derech of his family, but not her family, to have pay for these things, for the chalilim and the mekonenes at a funeral. So the Tanakama holds, only when she's alive do we say that ola imo, that she ascends up to his level, his financial status. But after Misa, there's no need for it. So it would mean that during our lifetime, she and the Gemara speaks about cases of, let's say, nursing, do you hire a nursemaid, and all these things. So let's say, for example, it's his family's custom to hire a nursemaid, so she has the right to say, it wasn't my family custom, but I don't want a nurse, you have to pay for it. He says, but your family never had that minig. You nursed on your own, your mother nursed on her own. She says, well, I'm married to you now, and in your family, this is the way it is. That's what's called ola imo. But Tanakama says that's only true when she's alive. After she passes away, she can't talk, but if she could talk, she doesn't have the right to say, I want the fancy funeral, because that's what your family is used to. She already passed away, it doesn't work that way. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, even after Misa, ola imo, she ascends up to his level, his financial status, and he has to pay for all of those things that were customary in his family, even though they weren't customary in her family. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's enough to have two chalilim and mekonenes. You don't have to pay for anything more. One point about the kesef kiddushin. How do I know the kesef kiddushin belongs to the father at the beginning of the Mishnah. So that we derive from a pasuk regarding the Amah HaIvriya as well, the Jewish maidservant. What does it say when she goes free, either when she hits 12 or the 6 years are up? It says, V'yatza'ah chinam ein kasef. She leaves free and there's no payment. Now, we know there's no payment. She leaves free means there's no payment. What's that phrase coming to teach us? So the Gemara learns like this. Ein kesef la'adon zeh. Ein kesef is extra. It's there to tell you, oh, there's no money when she leaves this master. After, when she leaves his reshus with simanim, let's say, she's now with signs of maturity, she leaves. Maybe ein kesef in this case. Ah, that implies that there is a time where a master, when she leaves his jurisdiction, his authority, that there is payment of money. Aval yesh kesef la'adon acher. Where is there going to be money, though? For another master. Who's that other master? That's the father. That the kesef kiddushin belongs to him, even when she is a nara. How do I know the shtar and the bia are the father's? I mean, he can give her over to a man for bia, for kiddushin, or he gets the shtar? Because it says in the pasuk, v'hayisa le'ish acher, remember the word v'hayisa meant marriage, so we compare all types of marriage together, just like kiddushin kesef go to the father, so too kiddushin shtar and bia are in his reshus as well. Perek Daled, Mishnah Hey. We've already mentioned that Erisin Kiddushin was done way before Nisuin, not like our time, like where we do Erisin and Nisuin really both under the chuppah. The Arusa used to sit, live in our father's house until the time of Nisuin, and then they were brought to chuppah. And we're going to learn also later on that if the time of Nisuin arrives and the husband is holding back the chuppah for some reason, he's chayav to pay the mizonos. Mishnah's coming to, because it's he really should be chayav now. He's holding back the chuppah. He's holding back the nesuin. Mishnah's coming to teach us as a continuation of the previous Mishnah, when does the nara ha'ma'orasa leave the reshus of the father to the reshus of the baal? So you say, well, they enter the chuppah. Well, there could be situations where that's not true, says the Mishnah. La'olam hi b'reshus ha'av. She remains in the reshus of the father, meaning, even I have a nara ma'orasa. She, and now it's time for the nisuin. This was the date. But, says the Mishnah, if she hasn't yet been given over to the reshus of the husband, she hasn't entered his house, let's say, or the chuppah, so the zechuyos that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah, still belong to the father. And if she's a Bas Yisrael, let's say, and she's Me'ureses L'Kohen, she can't eat Truma just yet. She's still in the Rishus of the Av, Ad Shitikanes, the Rishus Habal L'Nisuin, which means until she enters the Chuppah for the purpose of the Nisuin, and now she's under his jurisdiction, she can eat Truma if he's the Kohen, and all the rights now transfer to the husband. Masar Ha'av L'Shluchei Habal. So let's say you had the father and he gave his daughter, who was a ma'orasa, had kiddushin only, and gave them to the shluchei habal, which means the husband sent shlichim to send messengers, sent agents to bring the daughter, to bring his wife, his future wife, to him from the father. Harehi b'reshus habal. If she's now given over to the reshus, to the shluchei habal, she's now in the reshus habal regarding all the zechuyos, the privileges and the obligations that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah, now belong to the, now are on the husband. Gemara has a machlokes, a Rav and Rav Asi regarding this issue. What does it mean she's completely given over to the husband when she's now in the hands of the shluchei habal? Rav says, Rav Amar, misirasola kol chutz mitruma, which means, yeah, for all purposes, she's now married, and the baal has all the zechuyos and all the obligations, except truma, which means if she is married, marrying a kohen, even though she's given over to the reshus habal, she can't eat truma until she enters the chuppah. Ravasi Amar afla truma. The Gemara says, Ravasi says, no, she belongs to the husband now. Even if he's a Kohen, she can eat truma. We said before, hold on, didn't we say she has to enter the reshus habal for nesuin? Didn't that mean the chuppah? No, the mesira to the shluchim is like she entered the chuppah. Then the Mishnah says, but halach ha'av im shluchei ha'bal, o shahochu shluchei ha'av im shluchei ha'bal. Let's say the father is walking with the messengers of the husband. Or let's say the father and the husband both send messengers. So even though they meet up with each other and they're just walking together, so then harei b'shusav, she's still in the reshus of the father regarding all of these halachos, the obligations and the privileges. But masru shluchei ha'av l'shluchei ha'bal, if the agents of the father now give her to the hands, entrust her to the hands of the shluchei ha'bal, then harei hi b'reshus ha'bal. Now she's in the reshus of the Baal.